Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Hey, Keith.
How's it going?
You know, pretty good. Just sitting our required 6 feet away from each other at the moment to record this podcast for the people.
And truth be told, we're one of just a handful of people in the office today. Because of, obvious coronavirus-related reasons.
Could be our last one in person for a little bit, but we're hoping to keep recording and bringing you a little, you know, distraction for the next few weeks.
A little pop in your shop.
Indeed.
Or something like that. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got chart news about Lil Uzi Vert debuting at number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with a sizzling streaming week, how he crowds the Billboard Hot 100 chart, and how a certain friend of the podcast inches ever closer to number one on the Hot 100.
Ooh.
Also, we have some major news about how a certain mega superstar breaks a major Hot 100 record. What a tease.
Plus, we have an interview with Diplo.
Yeah.
We caught up with the superstar at his recent Billboard cover photo shoot and talked all about his upcoming Thomas Wesley country album, an update on the next major Laser project, and chatted with him about some of the famous pop stars that he's worked with, including, of course, Madonna.
Shock.
And some of the folks that he'd perhaps like to work with down the road. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. So before we dive into the chart news and our Diplo interview, we would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge what's going on in our country and in our world right now with the coronavirus.
So much has changed since the last Pop Shop, folks.
Seriously. I mean, the coronavirus was clearly happening and traumatizing many areas of the world, but we went around, you know, business as usual last Monday, but
we had an interview with Robbie Williams, who had a Vegas residency.
And now he does not, because, a lot of everyday activities are being canceled at the moment, including the majority of schools, and employers are encouraging workers to stay at home, including us, but, you know, we'll start doing that by tomorrow. In the music world, the live music business has basically just been suspended indefinitely, with major festivals and concert tours being canceled every day, every hour, every minute.
Yeah. And, you know, the first, you know, big festival to pull the plug was South by Southwest in early March, when, you know, a lot of like big corporations were pulling out, you know, out of prudence, and, you know, because a lot of business travel was being canceled. But then, you know, Coachella and Stagecoach followed, announcing that it's, you know, weekends of festivals will be moving from April to October.
And now award shows have also started to get moved around, with the iHeartRadio Music Awards, originally scheduled for March 29th, now indefinitely postponed. And then the ACM Awards moved from early April to September. It really remains to be seen how that will impact these shows, including voting for the awards, which were closed in the ACM's case.
Right.
It's kind of hard to imagine, you know, those shows in September honoring music that, you know, already is a year old, then will be a year and a half to 2 years old. But they're, of course, just, you know, wanting everyone's health and safety to be the top priority at this moment.
Right. Not part of our notes, but, you know, there are also, I mean, there's other events that are happening in April that we don't have an update yet on. But by the
correct
time you hear this, I mean, the Billboard Music Awards at the end of April.
Billboard Latin Music Awards are the week before.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff coming. We'll keep you posted on that.
We do not know yet.
Check Billboard.com, because Billboard.com right now is basically your news for all things that are being canceled or postponed.
Indeed.
And on the concert front, you know, some of the biggest outings impacted are Elton John's Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour, with its March through May dates being pushed to 2021 as of our recording on Monday. There are brand new Vegas residencies from Kelly Clarkson and the Jonas Brothers, both of which will no longer kick off on April 1st as previously planned. Plus, the March and April dates of Celine Dion's Courage World Tour have been postponed. Billie Eilish's Where Do We Go tour dates for the rest of the month have been delayed. Though Billie did sneak in one final show on Thursday, March 12th. For some brave fans, I have something else to say.
Yeah.
There were a few acts, like I think Romeo Santos had a show.
Post Malone also had one on the 12th.
But effectively, if for the rest of March, all shows that are presented by Live Nation or AEG are just on hiatus.
Yep.
And I, you know, at the rate we're going, I fully expect shows in April to probably be postponed as well.
Yep.
But you know, it's just everything is super in flux right now. I mean, a week ago was very different. So I mean, who knows what 48 hours might bring at this rate?
Totally. And you know, a lot of A-list pop stars have been sending messages to their fans during this time too, including Taylor Swift, taking to her Instagram stories on Sunday night to say that she's keeping an eye on her followers and she's kind of annoyed that she's seeing way too many social gatherings moving forward, despite public health warnings to the contrary. So her message reads in part, "I love you guys so much and need to express my concern that things aren't being taken seriously enough right now. I'm seeing lots of get-togethers and hangs and parties still happening. This is the time to cancel plans, actually truly isolate as much as you can, and don't assume that because you don't feel sick that you aren't possibly passing something on to someone elderly or vulnerable to this." And then Ariana Grande echoed that sentiment in her own message to fans on Sunday, writing, "I keep hearing from a surprising amount of people statements like, this isn't a big deal. We'll be fine. We still have to go about our lives. And it's really blowing my mind. I understand if that's how you felt weeks ago, but please read about what's going on. Please don't turn a blind eye. It's incredibly dangerous and selfish to take the situation that lightly."
You know, when we talk about Taylor and Ariana, it makes me think about how Taylor and Ariana, I think, might be clued into this a little bit more, not just because they're intelligent pop stars, but also because they have, you know, family members who are either older or maybe have been ill recently.
Or coworkers, as the next segment that Keith is about to talk about.
You're like, why didn't you read this further? Well, finally, Billboard has been keeping an eye on people in the industry personally impacted by the illness, including Taylor Swift's label boss, Lucian Grange, the CEO of Universal Music Group, which is the largest music company basically in the world, home to such record labels as Interscope Records, Republic Records, you know, Def Jam, Capitol, the whole kit and caboodle. He was hospitalized recently after testing positive for the coronavirus over the weekend, and he is only 60 years old.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm sure that freaked Taylor right out, like knowing that people were probably going about business as usual, as of late last week.
Yeah.
So, okay. So while you monitor all the plentiful news about what's going on around the world and the country with COVID-19, you can also follow along with Billboard.com for news about the music and the live industry. And just to say before we move on to the fun stuff, we really appreciate you listening to us for a distraction today. I know some of my favorite TV shows and podcasts have been, you know, a very welcome distraction at the moment.
All right, so let's get to the distraction, which is the chart.
Let's distract you.
Which is the distraction chat.
Look over here.
Okay, first up on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Lil Uzi Vert's Eternal A Take debuts straight in at number one, garnering the rapper his second number one album and landing the biggest streaming week for an album since 2018. He previously hit number one with his last album back in 2017, with Love Is Rage 2. Now, the new 18-song set starts with 288,000 equivalent album units earned in the U.S. in the week ending March 12th. According to Nielsen Music MRC data, the vast majority of those units were driven by streaming activity, as the album racked up 400 million on-demand streams for its songs in its first week. Now, that's the fourth largest streaming week ever for an album, and the largest since Lil Wayne's The Carter 5 debuted with 433 million streams back in October of 2018. Next, over on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, Lil Uzi Vert takes over the chart as he has a full 20 songs on the list. Yes, indeed, one-fifth of the chart is Lil Uzi Vert.
Wow.
He's only the third act in history to have as many as that songs on the chart at the same time. And of those 20 tracks, 18 of them are from the new album. So the entire new album is on the Hot 100. A few artists have also done that in the past, so he joins a very elite crew of folks that have done that, but still, it's a major achievement, no matter how you slice it.
Yep.
Also, sticking with the Hot 100, Roddy Ricch's The Box is number one for a 10th week. 10 weeks at number one.
I would not have predicted this, Keith.
No, me neither. Like, when it first came out, I'm like, really? Okay. And then 10 weeks later, here we are.
Yep.
No shade to The Box.
It's no.
Just, it was, clearly I couldn't tell that it was a hit.
We were inside, living in a box, clearly.
Clearly, we knew nothing. We know nothing. Anyway, it's only the 39th song to spend at least 10 weeks at number one. And it's the first since Lil Nas X's Old Town Road, featuring Billy Ray Cyrus, spent a record 19 weeks at number one last year. Meanwhile, friend of the podcast, Dua Lipa, her Don't Start Now single hits yet another new peak, rising 3-2 on the Hot 100.
I'm so excited for her and for the song.
Will it hit number one? Will it break the box? Time will tell. It's very exciting at the very, very top of the chart.
And in some major Hot 100 news, Drake breaks the record for the most entries ever in the history of the Billboard Hot 100.
Yeah.
As he logs his 208th hit with Oprah's bank account with Lil Yachty and DaBaby. The track debuts at number 89, driven almost entirely by streaming activity. And Drake now jumps past the previous record holder for the most Hot 100 hits that was earned by, I'm wondering if the podcast listeners are trying
Drum
to guess
roll.
Right now. They're thinking Michael Jackson. They're thinking the
James
Beatles.
Brown.
They're thinking Elvis Presley.
Sure.
But the answer is the Glee cast. And actually, the Glee cast probably covered all those artists I just said.
Yeah.
They tallied 207 entries on the list during the you know,
the
high time
the
heyday, for those show.
The heyday of Glee.
And now it is time for our interview with Diplo. We talked with the superstar at his Billboard magazine cover photo shoot and got updates on his upcoming country album, the new Major Lazer project, and of course we asked him about working with Madonna, and Dua Lipa, and rumblings of him working with Lady Gaga. Would love that in the Stupid Love era.
Mm.
Some other divas come up in our conversation, including Enya and Barbra Streisand,
sure,
of course.
Of course.
But we'll let you hear that in context. So take a listen to our chat with Diplo. Why you gotta be so heartless? I know you think it's harmless. You're tearing me apart. And
girl, the hardest part is you're so high on attention. Welcome to the Billboard Pop Talk Podcast.
How are you guys doing?
Diplo, how are you?
I'm good. I'm fantastic.
Of course, you have a lot going on right now. There's at least two album projects that you have cooking.
Yeah.
Possibly seven.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
There's always more on the back burners, but on the front burners, because you want to keep those warm in
Indeed.
The front of the stove,
right.
Which are more on high. The back ones, they're kind of sautéing, you know, on the electric oven I got recently installed in my house. And but coming up really soon, not a concrete release date on the Major Lazer album, but in the next 2 months, it'll be done, finished, and released because we have a bunch of summer plays. And then, the first two singles are coming out really soon.
Ooh.
And, the first single was K. Cola, which did really well for us.
And you're like, and we're not going to put it on the album. Just tease it.
No, it's going to be the album.
It's going to be the album.
Because it was a big record and it represents like our brand a lot. The next Diplo single is Thomas Wesley, my side project, which is sort of this country fusion record. The first two singles were Cam, So Long, and,
Morgan Wallen,
Heartless, which now has the version with Julia Michaels, which went platinum, and it's still doing really well. It's climbing in the charts.
It's top 20 on the Hot Country Songs chart.
Yeah, which is awesome for us, which is cool to work in country because I'm so used to working with hip-hop artists and dance music, which is quick up and down. But country records, if they're really well-written, they go for like a year. They climb charts for a year, which is, that's awesome to be part of that. And you don't get sick of the songs. Like a lot of times in dance music, we jump on trends and we have to kind of be quick, and sometimes the songs aren't as great. You know, so it's hard to find classics in dance, but with country, you know, and songwriting, folk music in general, I think it's great to have a good song record. So those two records out. The next single is with Thomas Rhett and Young Thug.
Wow.
It's called Dance With Me.
And so all these songs are going to be on the country sort of EP.
Yeah, the Thomas Wesley album, which comes out April 3rd.
Amazing.
So that's all those dates are concrete. So we can talk about it.
So, actually, speaking of working in the country world, we were wondering, like, since you started, you know, releasing these records, whether people in country music have been approaching you about, like, who maybe never thought of working with you previously.
Like, is Luke Combs and Dolly Parton?
Yeah, actually,
like,
Luke Combs was, like, one of the first ones that I didn't know who he was, but he's, like, one of the biggest stars in country. I kind of, like, know I don't know a lot of the new country guys except for the people like I crossed paths with in pop music, like Florida Georgia Line, Thomas Rhett, Morgan, who I met, and I was like loved his style, and he was like an outsider already, like me, and like what he does in country. And then of course Orville Peck, who I knew through Instagram more than I knew through the country scene, or you know, some of the other outsiders like considered Lil Nas X or Mason Ramsey, people who were just on the fringe of country. Sure. Doing something in that style. And then other people like Sergio Simpson, who works for my management company, and who's awesome. One of my first guys was like, wow, that's taking country to like another level and living on his own, like not even being part of the Nashville scene. Because it is kind of difficult with Nashville, because a lot of people, that it's such a club.
It's very insular in Nashville. Yeah. It's like the songwriters all work together. And so like when you probably come ambling into town, they're like, what the fuck is
that? I mean, I did the first guy to really reach out to me, we worked together with Sam Hunt. We did like, many records together. Mm. And we had like a lot of different issues with each other towards the end, because we finished records and some stuff went out with his project and me. But he always was the first guy to reach out to me, because I really had a vision for his voice and what he did. Mm. I was a huge fan of his. And I'm kind of mad he's not on that album.
Cause I was going to say, are you on his next album?
No, sometimes you don't even know.
Yeah, you might be.
Yeah, you might have to be a writer on some of the songs. But
surprise.
We have some good songs. But you know what? I learned working with him how to like treat the scene, because he cared a lot about what matters to him most was like, you know, being part of that and not being too much of an outsider. Because he kind of was too, a little bit in the beginning. Yeah. But I learned a lot working with him, and that's how I kind of completed the album. And I didn't give a fuck anymore, because I did that with him, and I was like, whoever wants to work with me, give me that record. We're gonna do it our way. You know, we don't have to care about this. Like Morgan Wallen's song, we don't get any country radio play on that.
No, you don't, which is crazy. Yeah. Like it's just a huge, because I look at working charts, so I'm confirming what you've already just said, which it's like not unusual, but at the same time, it's really stupid, because like when you hear the song, you're like, if you didn't know who was involved with the production, you would just play the song because it sounds like a country hit.
I mean, the 808s are threatening to them, I feel like, in the song a little
bit. Thomas Rhett makes a lot of like country pop songs.
But not with the halftime. I think maybe that's the thing. But, you know, there's a lot of snap beats and there's a certain tempo. There's a certain formula. And I mean, you know what? The song's getting listened to. It's the most streamed record for Morgan and one of the most streamed country records right now. And it's on The Highway, who gives us a lot of support.
Yeah.
So that matters a lot. And if country records do pick it up, some people do. Like, so there's a random, you know, station in Wichita or like to Canada that plays it. But, you know, doing Stagecoach and having those kids come there and see me play it, I don't need to go through the gatekeepers.
Right.
And I never did my career. I never like waited for someone to be like, that's okay to do dance hall or whatever it is. I just did it, and I find the fans. And I think that's what's great about music these days, because you don't need to like unlock the gate to get into the scene anymore. Yeah. You kind of work outside of it.
So we have the country project coming. We have a firm date on that.
Yeah.
We know what the next single is. The Major Lazer project is coming, but it's on the horizon. Yeah. We don't know exactly what's happening, but I'm sure it'll be a star-studded affair with the moon. Yes. I want to make a pivot here to sort of swing back to pop, because we are the Pop Shop podcast, and also because you sort of dabble in every genre under the sun. I'm waiting for the Enya collaboration.
I would love that.
And I mean that with love.
I'm really into like Irish Baroque songwriting too, so I feel like she's the one.
I mean, you never know.
I actually love her albums. I search her albums a lot for samples, because I mean, she had that huge
the one in the Fugees,
the Fuji sample, but she also had another record, Caribbean Blue, which was like sampled a lot. Another record, like it's another awesome one. But I mean, she has like she just has melodies that are amazing.
I love the amazing story of when like Diddy sampled Enya on the Mario Winans track.
Yeah, the Fuji song, the Ready or Not, right? On the Mario Winans
song,
and
she got artist credit via the sample. So Enya had like a top five hit on the Hot 100 thanks to the sample. Anyway, sorry. So I want to pivot to pop, and my queen of pop is the queen of pop. Madonna.
Yes.
Katie can vouch. We both saw the Madame X tour.
That was awesome.
It was amazing.
You saw in L.A.?
Yeah.
I went to one of the L.A.
We were
ones.
Not at your show.
We weren't at your show. I think you did the beer thing.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That was her beer stooge.
Lucky. Yeah. indulge me here. You've collaborated with her on her last two albums.
Yeah.
You had a track on the recent album called Future with Quavo, and you had a number of tracks on the previous album. What is collaborating with her like? Is it you kind of bringing in music and cool sounds, and she comes in with the lyrics and is inspired by it, or is it more like, let's get in the studio together and sort of
we started everything from scratch for her. So with the Rebel Heart, we did, it was like studio sessions like 2 weeks, which for me is not very common, because I usually have like one day here for a session, one day there, I write a record, maybe I come back to it with them. I don't sit for whole projects, which is what a producer does. But mostly, like, if you're going to executive produce an album, you got to go for the whole time. But for me, time doesn't allow that. And I've always been working in a format that's been singles based, whether it's like hip hop or dance music. So, but with her, I like had to do it. And I was like, she didn't take any bullshit. Like, we're going to do full 16-hour days and like work. And I was like, ugh. But that's how you make records, and you do them quick, and you make them, and you write, and you have a vibe of the producer. Like, with, I was sort of like the DJ in that album, and gave her the modern sound. But for me, it was like Jelly Bean Benitez, or it was like Paul Oakenfold, or
you actually referenced Jelly Bean now.
But I'm saying he was the guy who gave her some sounds in the first album. She always knew like great street, like what was happening with dance music, yeah. when she did Ray of Light, that was like the drum and bass.
William Orbit.
Yeah. So it's like she always had like her pulse on it. Mm-hmm. So I'm just happy. I'm like, for me, her to pick me to work with her was like a huge amount of respect to me. I was like, wow, she's put me in these other great.
Yeah, you're the new tastemaker. Yeah.
So you worked on the most recent album, just one track though. Yeah. Are there tracks that you guys did together that are sort of lingering in a Madonna vault?
There's some for Rebel Heart. There was like some random ones, really? But they weren't even close to being finished. They might have been like scratches to start off with, but you know, she's very, very dominant in the studio, and she knows what she wants. She doesn't.
Shut up.
And she has a strong opinion, and she also has like she knows her brand, and she also doesn't mind. Her brand's always changed. Yeah. And it's crazy that she not only knows it, but she knows what the future is going to be like,
yeah.
Which is very strong. Like, she's one of the most, I think, strongest artists, male or female, I've ever worked with that just has like a definition to
identity,
what she does.
Yeah. Speaking of the many talented people that you've worked with, you and Mark Ronson teamed up with Dua Lipa for Electricity, which was a Grammy winning song. Have you gotten in the studio with her at all for Future Nostalgia, or have you gotten with her for any of her upcoming things?
We did some writing demos for that album, but we have something new. We have that might be another Silk City record. So we're playing with that. And but you know, it's really about her project. So I think that's going to come out first, and then see what hits. But I love collaborating with her. The first record I did with her was with Major Lazer. It was called My Love with WizKid, which is way ahead of his time.
Wow!
It was like a Dua Lipa Afrobeat like pop record that. Honestly, it was like before she even had her big hit. So it was
before One Dance too, yeah. Or was WizKid?
Right around One Dance. Okay. So it was like it made sense for England and like London. Mm. But it was actually a huge record for us for a little while. We played at Glastonbury with her, but it definitely went. It was like way too early for that record, and it's still a really awesome sounding record. And sounds new to me.
Well, I was gonna say, speaking of Silk City 2, Mark has worked a lot with Lady Gaga. Is that somebody that you have ever teamed up with?
We've seen lots of stuff on the internet where you're allegedly yeah. working with Gaga.
I've worked on stuff with Mark that he might have gone there, and I've known her, and she's really cool. And I met her like a long time ago, back in the day with like Jeremy Scott, like as a parties girl. You know, I never really went to a studio with her, but I've seen her around, and she's awesome. But I never had a chance. I'm not really like these days. I worked in the circuit in LA for a long time where I was like producing whatever and trying to work. But the last 3 years, I've just been like, shit, I don't want to wait around for someone to call me up unless it's Madonna.
Right.
But Madonna calls, I'll stop what I do. But
you should look up that single.
Everybody else, I just kind of like, I'll just start my own project. Like, yeah. I'll do this. I like LSD. I'll do like a pop thing like this in my own way. I'll do country. Like, I kind of felt like I have the power to do that. So why not just do it myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want to ask this one thing?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask that one.
Oh, no, which one? We'll edit all this out.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
so
this is great banter.
So yeah, super banter.
I was just going to say, without naming names.
Or you can name them.
Or you can name them. You have worked with so many people. Like, do you say no to things?
Yeah.
Like, you say no to like A-listers and you just can't say their name?
I think that I've actually not really said no to many people. You know, it's all about time. Like I said no once, because it was a time issue to Shakira because I couldn't work on the album that she did, She-Wolf and stuff. I gave the job to John Hill because we were working together. I was hoping that I'd come back in the studio with them and finish stuff, and he just like...
He went
to Colombia for like 2 months and they recorded in Lebanon. I was like, hey guys, I'm still here. So that was probably like one of my... And I went to like 3 shows. I couldn't make her session. So that was like the one probably bummer I did.
I'm looking forward to the Barbra Streisand collabo.
I'm ready. She doesn't know she's not following me on Instagram. So that's a big... I check.
Oh.
You follow her though?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make it happen.
Among your many endeavors and side projects and everything, obviously you also did a Calvin Klein underwear ad last year, and we wanted to know Whose is the best one? Calvin Harris, yours, or Shawn Mendes?
I think I was going to say Calvin Harris or Calvin Klein. Which one's the better Calvin?
Who's the better Calvin?
I didn't see Shawn Mendes' ad.
How did you miss that one?
Is it Calvin? Is it Calvin Harris? Is it Calvin? It's Calvin Klein. Oh, but no,
it's part of the same campaign.
Calvin Harris did.
Yeah,
Armani.
His was Armani. Armani. Yes.
So I know Calvin for a long time, and his body transformation was very strong for that Armani.
You saw it before your very
eyes.
Yeah,
I know him. I saw it. Hey, we were the same gym, so it's not. I'm not even lying. And
you already had a preview.
And I didn't see Shawn Mendes, and I loved mine, so I'm going to go ahead and say mine.
Obviously, yeah, that's the right. That's
but I didn't see Shawn Mendes, but I love me. And I'm just going to have to still go and vote for myself.
Now we're going to make it so people are just tweeting you pictures of Shawn Mendes in his underwear.
I would love
that. Sorry about
that. Because I know him. I can actually text him and be like, hey, I missed your ad. Can you send me some snippets?
Oh, you got to Google.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Diplo for taking the time to speak with us. It was really fun to crash that cover shoot.
It was.
And the photos from it, if you haven't seen them yet, go to billboard.com, including like him standing like barrel chested in front of a classic car.
In front of a sports car.
It looks like he honestly like time machined to the 70s for the photo shoot. It's
very
really
much.
Great. Oh, right. I forgot about the most important thing we asked him about.
Our final question.
And now we know where he stands on who had the better underwear campaign, him, Calvin Harris, or Shawn Mendes.
So if you skip past the interview, you should really go back and listen.
Clearly, you need to hear that part.
All right. We've reached the end of our big show. Any parting words?
Man, like I said, just appreciate you guys listening, and we'll keep coming at you as long as you want to hear us.
Yeah. it could be a slightly modified show.
Indeed.
In the next few weeks, but, Indeed. You know, we'll be here popping and shopping. What song should we go out on?
I mean, not to be, like, overly dramatic, because obviously this song was inspired by a very tragic, fatal situation, but we're kind of in a tragic, fatal situation right now. I was thinking Ariana Grande's No Tears Left to Cry.
Okay.
You know, because it's like... It's acknowledging sadness, but in the end, it's happy. So let's do that.
All right. See you guys next time.
Bye. Yeah. Right now, I'm in a state of mind. I want to be in like all the time.
And then all tears of the cry. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.